What's up, jerks? Let me tell you, people, I'm going to tell you that Buffy makes bedding that is earth-friendly and cruelty-free. Their latest product, The Breeze, is a comforter made entirely from eucalyptus fiber. That's right, eucalyptus, to regulate the temperature and keep you cool and comfortable all night long. You are sleeping like a panda bear's fantasy, okay? And Buffy's going to give you a free trial. So if you don't love it, return it at no cost. For $20 off your Buffy comforter, visit buffy.co and enter the code bonkers. That's buffy.co and enter the code bonkers for $20 off eucalyptus bedding. I love it. Today's show is also brought to you by our good friends at Squarespace. Squarespace, here's the deal. They make everything easy when it comes to online. Do you want to launch your passion project? Do you want to showcase your work? Do you want to sell a product? Well, here's the deal. With beautiful templates and the ability to customize just about anything, you can easily make a beautiful website yourself. Ooh, ooh, bam, 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 bam. That's the sound it makes when you're trying to type in very quickly. That's how it works. Anyway, don't get stuck on my sound effects, which are amazing. Get stuck with Squarespace. It's 24/7 award-winning customer support. They're going to be there to help you so you can get unstuck when you are making a beautiful website. Anyway, I'm losing the stuck whole connection to any of this, but the idea is this. Squarespace is the best. Squarespace is the shit. Make a website with what? Squarespace. Why? Because I have three. Come on, people. Squarespace.com/bonkers for a free trial. Check out hdtgminfo.com to see what it looks like. It looks so good. It looks so good. And you can see all our tour dates. Anyway, when you're ready to launch, use the offer code bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/bonkers. It's the most lethargic shark ever photographed on screen. We saw Jaws 3, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater. Did you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? This is John speaking. I hope you are having a great 4th of July week, and what better way to celebrate 4th of July than with a classic 4th of July tale, Jaws, .. 3. And I am here to
3D.
Three. They took the D off, June, for this release.
Here's the thing that I will say. Always add more D's.
By the way, not to bring it up, but I
like
was in...
Firm D's. You got to put firm D's on the end of these movies.
You joke about this, but I was in Piranha 3 Double D.
Yeah.
They knew their audience. You hear the voices of my two co-hosts. That is, of course, Jason Mantzoukas and June Diane Raphael. How are you both?
Doing well. How are you, Paul?
I'm very good. This movie I saw in the theater.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I remember this movie. I was so psyched about this movie because 3D was
that's
a
true.
Big deal. I remember a movie called Dreamscape, also with Dennis Quaid, in 3D. Very exciting to see these movies. And this movie, which June is right, it is just 3D, but they make no, you're watching a 3D movie without watching it in 3D.
Well,
when you watch
and the 3D, what I'm presuming is a lot of the 3D stuff is like underwater, slow moving items. You know what I mean? It's a lot of stuff, you know, that is like.
Can you tell? Like the fish head almost seems like a composite. Like
it really
seems like
did.
It's in a studio.
Yes.
And they don't even change the titles. Like the titles are supposed to shoot out at the screen, but they've left in the trails. So it's almost hard to read. Like when Dennis Quaid's name comes up, it's got like a lot of like depth to it.
Yes.
But it's hard to read.
I loved the credit at the beginning of the movie that said that this film is suggested by the novel Jaws by Peter Benchley.
Suggested by.
By the novel. That's a crazy credit.
I mean, when I saw suggested, I started laughing. And the other thing about this title sequence that made me laugh was, Louis Gossett Jr. is in this movie as...
LGJ?
Love LGJ.
Oh, Iron Eagle? The Landlord?
We got to do that on the... Oh, The Landlord.
That's a great movie.
I also... Which is the one where he's a principal with John Belushi?
Oh, what is that
Or Jim Belushi, sorry.
Yeah. I don't remember. I'm not going to remember, but yes.
But I thought it was so interesting.
We got to do Iron Eagle.
Oh, it's on the list.
Gedrick? Come on.
So good.
He was like one of the only other people named Jason in the world. Jason Gedrick. And I remember being like, whoa, cool. Like, because it was otherwise that and Jason Robards. And I was like, oh, that old guy.
So you didn't know a lot of Jasons?
No.
In your class?
No.
Wow. I grew up with a slew of Jasons.
Yeah, no, not really. No, I didn't know Jason's until much later in life. And wow. Jason is now like, I feel like an extinct name. Like how many,
really?
And do you know any Jasons in your kids' peer group?
No, but I grew up never knowing anyone with my name.
Yeah.
I mean, there were like two old women that I met who had my name. So, but I had several Jasons in my class.
I love that.
Well, to me, I feel like the
kids. Is that good to hear?
I'm glad that there were Jasons out in the world.
I feel like it's an extinct species. In my classroom, we're very much made fun of from Jason from Friday the 13th. It was sort of like that. It was like,
yes.
You know. I also was a lone name person. There was no Pauls.
What are you talking about? You both have very common boy names. No,
I barely ever heard it.
I was very special. June, I was very special. I was alone in the world as a Jason.
You know, it was so hard for people to pronounce my name. Do you pronounce the L? Is it a strong L?
Well, I do remember, not to get off on too much of a tangent, but Paul and I had to pick up a pizza in Ojai once. And
my God.
Staying with a group of friends over Thanksgiving, but it was like the day after, nobody wanted to cook. Jason, you weren't invited, I guess. But
I must not have been there at this house in Ojai that apparently a group of you were at.
Yeah, I don't remember why you weren't there.
Some of your best friends.
Oh, wow.
But some people you're very, very dear to were definitely
your mom
there.
And dad were there.
Really, Billy and Cindy?
Yeah, they were having. They were fun.
They are a blast.
Oh, we had so many laughs with
them. Yeah, I have not talked to them since they told me I was a quote unquote bummer.
So the next night after Thanksgiving, we ordered pizza so we didn't have to cook. And
that's the way we roll.
Yeah. Because otherwise you cooked the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, we're always.
Well, listen,
I mean, June will put on that apron.
Cooking.
Yeah.
So we go to get the pizzas. Paul and I go to get them. Everybody else stays back. And people are hungry. People are hungry.
Yeah.
And we get to the pizza place and we're waiting.
Well, we go in there and we're like,
Papa.
Yeah.
We're waiting. And Paul says, I'm sorry, I'm just checking in because we ordered like five pies. A lot of people were there.
Yeah.
I'm like,
and yet I didn't get invited.
You definitely weren't there.
Wow.
Yeah, so like, many people.
Paul's five like, pies worth
Paul's
of people.
Like, I gotta, I've ordered five pies for Paul. She's like, I don't have that order. And we're like, what? And she's like, I have nothing here for Paul. And we're like, we just called. What do you mean? You said to come by in 40 minutes. She's like, I'm so sorry. I don't have anything here for Paul. And I'm like freaking out. I'm like, Paul, all of our dear friends are back there. Everybody's so hungry.
Not all of your dear friends. Let's just say, let's qualify that.
Yeah.
All of your dear friends aren't there.
Okay. The people in our life that we choose to holiday with.
Holiday with. Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
And, like, and spend holidays, not like vacation holidays.
No.
Not in the British sense. Like holidays.
Yeah, federally sanctioned holidays.
Like a bank holiday.
Yes.
Exactly.
We bank holidays.
Is this your bank holiday group?
Yes. It's a very odd group, but great people, odd group.
So then she says,
Jason Gedrick is in that group.
Oh, God.
Only
damn it.
One Jason per
JG?
Group.
So then she says, I don't have anything here. I guess I have an order for five pizzas for Tall.
For
Tall.
Tall?
I'm enjoying watching you tell the story.
I love that somehow the story is getting slower and slower and slower. I have five pizzas for Tall.
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 I hope your answer was like, well, that's not us because we are Paul.
And Paul goes, I guess that's me. I think you misheard me. And she's like, no. This is for a Tall.
Tall, the name, the common name.
T-A-L.
Tall.
Wow.
It was a wild ride.
That's a ride.
And then Talia Shire walked in. She took those five pieces. Talia Shire from the Godfather and Rocky films just walked in.
She was like, five pizzas for Tall. And they were like, Adrian! done.
She's like, oh, so can I just escape this? Well, speaking of names, what I thought was so funny about these credits were, you know, this is obviously a sequel, the third sequel in the franchise of the Jaws films. We talked about Jaws 4. I would say the only defining thing about this movie is it's better than Jaws 4. It's not saying much. But when they're rolling the credits, it says Louis Gossett Jr. as Calvin Bussard. It's like, what does that mean to anything?
Yep.
That's a nothing thing. It would be like, as President Abraham Lincoln. You know, like, there's that name is not a character from the movie.
We don't write. Well, did they do that for all the names? I skipped through those.
No.
Okay, because I was going to say, I wonder if they were doing it so that it told us that, because the Dennis Quaid and the little brother character are Roy Scheider's sons?
Yes.
That's correct.
Which I feel
now, Dennis Quaid plays, I mean, I guess let's just get into it, but the chief engineer?
I guess.
I don't know what his job is.
I have a yes. Yeah, yeah, go ahead. He is like,
that's all I have. And he's engineering like the tunnels.
Did he build that whole underwater facility?
I thought he was a marine biologist.
No.
But then later on when he's welding, like he's literally welding.
He's like the facilities guy.
Okay.
And she's the marine biologist.
But what's strange about that?
I understand why you thought that, because he's a man and so he should be the marine biologist.
You got me.
Right? But she was the doctor and he was just like a handyman?
Yeah, no, see, he wasn't just a handyman.
No, I know. He was like a true,
but
like,
that's what was weird about it, because he seemed to be an engineer.
Right.
But also like the operations manager, like the guy you call on to come fix the things.
Yes.
Which seemed odd.
Well, he was also, how old is he, do you think? He seems quite 20? Young to have the level of authority.
Maybe that's why everything kept breaking down.
By the way, yes.
No, also, it was because of the shark.
No, because there were problems with the gates before the shark.
No, the shark was hit the shark. The shark hit the gate.
That's that true. Was the shark.
And by the way, but two I sharks. Would think, though, we didn't even know it was two.
I'm sorry, but I would think he would create, he could create something with that high level position to withstand a shark.
Well, I think the shark is so powerful, it's so big, it just knocked it off the rails.
Yeah.
It wasn't like it broke. I will say this. I noticed one thing, and it's a very visual thing, and I'm just going to ask you guys to remember it. He rides like an old school jet ski, like the ones where the, it's not like the one that you sit down
thin.
On. It's a thin, thin one.
No, it's like, one. It's not a ski-doo, it's a jet ski. So it is, you stand on top of it and the handle pops up.
And so the way that I understand it, because when I was in Piranha 3D, not 3DD, I went
out.
Which
you were also in.
I was in both. They didn't have enough money to do my death scene.
Super quick question. Yeah. Will you guys be covering those movies on Unspooled?
Oh, I mean, well, we have to wait until the 2017 or 2019 list. I mean, I'm sure it will definitely be on. I mean, one of them will definitely be on the list.
Okay.
You know, there's not a lot of horror on that list. We actually did a great episode of Unspooled recently where we talked about horror films. Anyway, Spike Lee was on Unspooled last week. And he was saying,
that got really weird.
No. So what I remember about those jet skis is you have to kind of be in the water with the handles, ramp them up, and you get on them. It's not a...
You started on your knees on those.
Yes.
And then got into a standing position because it was... They're very difficult to, like, just, like... What he does, which is jump on and off of it like it's a bike.
And the way that you can tell it's so uncomfortable, because you see when he goes to the next dock, like, he's going in and he's... trying to park it like a motorcycle, but you can see he's like, I gotta jump off this before. Yeah.
He literally, how about the time when he's driving the golf cart and it tips over?
Yes!
I was like, this is reckless. Yeah. This movie is reckless.
He clearly did both of those stunts.
Yes.
Really?
I don't even know that those were intended to be stunts.
So. I think he just like,
went for it.
Yeah,
I think they were like, you can't get wet, you can't fall in the water. And you can see the fear. Like, I see him going in and the thing is shaking a little bit.
I thought the exact same thing. I was like, I wonder if he ever didn't land this. Because this, to pull up on a jet ski and jump onto a dock, very hard.
No small feet. People look ridiculous on jet skis.
In that type of a jet ski, sure.
In all jet
skis. Isn't that how Tad died?
I don't know. I think I look pretty cool when I'm like...
Jason looks great on it.
Yeah.
Didn't Tad from General Hospital die on a jet ski? I remember that as a kid.
Oh, no.
I remember like Tad was like... Does Tad like...
Who's Tad?
I don't remember
There was a guy I always like... My parents, when my mom would watch like soap operas, and I think it was General Hospital or My Children, there was a young guy named Tad. And his character died in a jet ski accident. And I was always like...
Was he your favorite character?
Yeah. Because he was like kind of like my age. He was kind of like the like the new Luke and Laura. Like Luke and Laura were like a Got little it. Bit, like they were a little bit past my age.
And this is this before Stamos comes in as Blackie, I believe was his name.
What?
I'm 99% sure that's what? Right. Look it up. If I'm wrong, we can cut it from the episode. But I'm 99% sure that is right.
Oh, my God. Blackie Parrish on General Hospital. That's right. General Hospital 1983. I mean, Blackie
how
steals
crazy
food.
Is that?
Blackie Parrish.
Yeah. Soap operas.
Tad is from All My Children. Here he is. Okay. Yeah, his name is Tad. His fictional character, Tad Martin.
So his character died on a
played by Michael E. Knight, not the Knight Rider Michael E. Knight. But he died.
Well, Michael Knight was the character. He wasn't played by the fictional character,
yeah.
Michael Knight from Knight Rider, portrayed by David Hasselhoff.
Sure, sure, sure.
I love that you were a kid watching soap operas with your mom.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I would watch soap operas all the time. In fact, I feel a lot of shame over trying to make out with one of my girlfriends because I watched so many soap operas. It was all consuming.
Yes, yeah. Kissing seemed like the most important thing.
And also like what everyone should be doing at all times.
Yes, dramatic kissing.
Yeah. By the way, I do have an embarrassing story about
that. That's my pickup line when I'm in bars. I'm like, hey, you want to pretend like it's a soap opera?
Oh, by the way, just so you know, it wasn't...
Because my twin brother's about to come out, and he's a bad boy. Then I go to the bathroom, and I come out wearing an eye patch. And I'm like, was my brother here?
By the way, Tad did not die in the jet ski. I just Googled it. It was another two characters. They were Greg and Jenny Gardner. And Jenny accidentally gets on the jet ski that was rigged with explosives. So it wasn't even a jet ski accident. It was
rigged with explosives?
Yes, it was rigged with explosives.
Well, welcome back to Soap Talk. 1980s Soap Talk.
So it says, Tad, Jenny's biological brother, scheduled a day of fun for Greg and Jenny at Willow Lake, just outside of town, and Tony wires Greg's jet ski to explode, but at the last minute, Jenny gets on the jet ski instead, and she ends up being the victim. She dies at the Pine Valley Hospital at age 20 with Greg
That's
at her
terrible.
Side. So sad. So sad.
Very sad for them, because I believed in their love.
I did, too. I tried to French my mom after watching Love Boat.
What?
I've heard this what story
is,
before.
What is happening right now? Is this for the podcast? Are we putting this out into the world?
As a little kid,
you tried to make out your words with your mom.
No, I said French.
French. Sorry.
I get it, though. I mean,
I get it
because I did the same to many
young.
Other.
Yeah. I wasn't like 12. I was like a little kid. I was like watching like the Love Boat all the time, and they were always like open mouth kissing. So I just thought, oh, that I didn't understand.
That must be the next level of kissing.
Yeah. Right.
I can get that. And was she receptive?
No.
Did she consent? Enthusiastically?
Guys. Please.
Oh, God. Oh, boy.
I feel good to get it off my chest.
Oh,
I feel
my
good.
God.
People, I've talked to you about the amazing technology of Squarespace. It is the easiest way to launch your passion project, okay? When I needed to get the word out about the How Did This Get Made tour, where did I go? I went to Squarespace. I made a website, hdtgminfo.com. You could get tickets there. You can buy merch there. You can find out all the FAQs there. And why did I do it at Squarespace? Because they have beautiful templates created by world-class designers and the ability to customize just about anything with just a few clicks. So I could take what they did and make it into what I wanted. So it had some personality, some me behind it. Plus, they have powerful e-commerce functionality, lets you sell anything online, and analytics to help you grow your site in real time. Buying domains is simple there, too. I've done that as well. I did that with Unspooled Pod. And you can get any help that you need with Squarespace's 24/7 award-winning customer support. Squarespace empowers millions of people, literally millions of people. If everyone who has a Squarespace website was in a country, we would be the best fucking country because we'd be online, we'd be able to find out about each other, we'd be able to know what we're getting into. From designers to lawyers to artists to gamers, even restaurants and gyms, turn great ideas into something real. Head to squarespace.com/bonkers for a free trial. That's squarespace.com/bonkers for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code Bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/bonkers. Offer code bonkers.
People, there are over 2 million burglaries every year. That's one every 13 seconds. But what's crazy is that only 1 in 5 homes have home security. Maybe because most companies don't want to make it easy. Am I right? Am I right, people? Come on, here's the deal. You need to protect your shit. All right, we all know it, okay? Things are crazy. Protect yourself, but do it easy. Do it safe. Do it Simply Safe, which is my top choice, hands down. Simply Safe protects your whole home, every window, every door, every room, with 24/7 monitoring for just a fraction of the cost. And it's designed to blend right into your home. No wires, no drilling. No wonder it's won a ton of awards from like CNET and New York Times' Wirecutter, which is my go-to place for all the good shit. They make it easy on you. No contract, no hidden fees, no fine print. And around-the-clock monitoring is as low as $15 a month. 15 bones to protect everything I own? That should be their slogan. You got to do it. Visit simplysafe.com/bonkers and you get a free shipping and 60-day risk-free trial. You've got nothing to lose. Go now to simplysafe.com/bonkers and they'll know that we sent you. And that is important because that helps us keep the lights on. That's SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe.com/bonkers. Sign up, protect yourself, protect your neck, like the Wu-Tang Clan said. If you're SeaWorld, why would you agree to this movie?
Right? Isn't that crazy?
Why would SeaWorld be like, put all of our logos on this movie where a killer shark gets here, our patrons are injured.
Our staff doesn't know what to do. This movie, I believe,
our infrastructure is falling apart.
Yeah, yes.
Before it's even opened.
It was a mess. The whole thing was a mess. This whole movie is, forgive me, because I did not realize this, this is the same plot line exactly as The Meg.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I haven't seen
The Meg. Underwater tunnels. They think they've caught the shark, but that's actually the baby, and there's actually a mother shark. It's like beat for beat, The Meg.
I think there's only so many shark movies that you can do. So once the shark, you'd be like, we can do the shark movie above water, we can do the shark movie below water.
Yeah.
I mean, it was such a weird thing to have two sharks. What a trick. What a trick for you. Like,
I actually thought that worked.
Do you like that?
Well, it was hard for me initially because when they caught, not hard for me, but when they caught the great white, I was, guys.
Hey, what, Jason,
geez,
wow, take, have really a taking, sip of water.
He's really taking it rough.
Hey.
It was hard for me because when they caught the shark, I was like, the shark. And they caught the shark and it was a baby.
Yeah,
and I was like, it's such a small baby. And then it died. It died. The baby shark died.
Baby shark, do 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 do. Baby shark, do do do
do do. Baby shark, do 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 do. Baby shark is dead. The baby shark died. No, I was like, when they caught the shark, I was like, well, that shark is just too small. So there's obviously a bigger shark.
So you knew it.
Yeah, because she was able to be in the tank with a great white shark. And I was like, that wouldn't make any
sense. But by the way, the first kill of the movie, going back to the 3D, like the composite 3D shots, is like this very like peaceful, like kind of dopey looking fish. And then the shark just like eats its head off. And then the head just it's a slow float. Everything in this movie was like, the 3D is going to be so good. We need to not only linger on it. We just got to let the audience sit.
Oh, the submersible, that yellow submersible, they lingered on that thing moving in and out of like our visual space. It was terrible looking.
But the crazy thing about that opening shot is there was nothing. Again, we didn't watch it in 3D. So I don't know what that experience was like. Although in general, I don't
like. We do have a 3D TV.
I don't like a 3D experience.
You're very mad at
I don't care about 3D at all. Oh,
I didn't care about Avatar.
You know what movie I never think about ever? Avatar.
Oh, yeah.
It's like I saw it.
But yet there's two more being made.
I think there's three more being made.
Oh, gosh. We did see that together in New York, you and I.
Yeah,
it was not good. I couldn't tell you a single thing that happened in that movie. And it, I believe, is still the largest grossing movie of all time.
Well, I will tell you that the ride in Animal Kingdom is the most transformative roller coaster experience I've ever had. You get on the back of whatever the fuck those things are, and the flying things, and you're in this 3D world. It's almost like Back to the Future or Soarin', but you're flying through the world of Avatar. I'm like, that's how you should experience this movie. I don't need a plot. I just want to fly over.
You know what? If I'm going to watch that, I'll watch How to Train Your Dragon. They've got better flying in How to Train Your Dragon.
We were just talking about this the other day.
How to Train Your Dragon is great. Those movies, I think, are undeniably fantastic.
You watched the third one in the theater.
Disagree.
Yeah, that's fine. In terms of like those kind of fantasy one? Movies, I have, yeah.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. It's not as good as the first. I think the first one is just great.
I don't think I've seen the first one.
It's wonderful. It's just a sweet, yeah. I don't know. It's not like the best movie of all time. It's not like, you know, Miyazaki level, you know, animated perfection, but it's, I enjoyed it actually. I think my expectations were quite low.
Okay.
But my point is, like, Avatar, they have this argument. I will now shout out the Slash Film Cast. Dave Chen, Devendra Hardwar, and Jeff Kanata have been having this argument for years now as to whether Avatar is culturally relevant at all. I think it is a zero.
I totally disagree. I agree.
Yeah.
People don't know it, and I have the same issue with that movie Space Jam that they're remaking with LeBron James. Like, you're making a movie about Warner Brothers characters. No one cares about Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck anymore. That at least makes sense. But Avatar came out; it was such a huge thing. Avengers just beat it at the box office, and I don't think anyone will. I mean,
I don't think there's going to be I don't think there's any nostalgia for it. Like, I feel like half of the reason Star Wars still exists is because our entire generation is so nostalgic for it still that we can't wait to introduce it to all of our kids and keep the thing moving forward. I don't think anybody's like, my God, my kids got to see the next Avatars. We're so excited to go to Pandora, you know?
By the way, but yet they
Pandora is now synonymous with a music streaming service, not the land in Avatar.
I did see Paul after he came out of that ride at Disney, and you seemed like a different man.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I went in there.
I said, I want to go on this ride. I said, no, thank you.
What if we found out that ride, like, they replaced Paul with a clone?
They did take my DNA. I don't remember a good chunk of it, but my DNA was taken.
Interesting.
And then I woke up kind of in a daze outside the ride, and it was great. Yeah, you did. You said no. Did you regret that?
Not at all. Not at all. I'm fine with my roller coaster experiences being what they are currently. Like, I don't really
I'm cool with past tense.
Yeah, I don't need anything from a roller coaster.
Would you walk through that haunted mansion in the middle of SeaWorld, which was so odd that they had a haunted mansion?
Oh, I didn't see that part.
Oh, where basically it's this one little moment where they're going through one of the tunnels and then like a big fish goes, and then
and like an octopus grabs a woman.
Yeah. I was like, well, how aggressive is this haunted house that
they can grab people with tentacles?
Has anyone here been to SeaWorld? Is that what SeaWorld looks like?
I have been into SeaWorld.
I don't go because I'm not going to like go to those parks. I do send them $45,000 a year.
I try to keep them open.
I want the park to exist. I just don't want to go.
Yeah, that's a really cool thing.
I do a lot of fundraising for them.
They are very well endowed. They do not need your money.
Oh, how do you know they're so well endowed? Jeez, what is this about?
June,
are you fucking SeaWorld?
June is in a thruple with me.
Are you in an open relation with SeaWorld?
Just SeaWorld. Paul and I discussed it. It's out in the open. There's nothing.
That's so healthy with it.
We're really okay with it.
We're open vis-a-vis. We're only with each other, but either of us can be with a theme park or an inanimate object.
You know, for me, it's Hollywood Studios, which is a offshoot of Walt Disney World. It used to be MGM Studios. I was trying to find on my iPhotos me at SeaWorld tossing some fish.
Why would you ever support SeaWorld?
When I was a little kid. I had nothing. This is before you were
around the time where you were Frenching your mom or before
did you guys, mom time. Did you guys go on a date to SeaWorld? A romantic getaway, you and your mom? Tossing fish at SeaWorld and Frenching in the restaurant afterwards? Having shrimp, tossing shrimp cocktail into each other's mouths, you weirdos?
You know, look, say what you will. My mom taught me a lot of great stuff. And, you know, my mom was the first person I ever played standoff with. The classic bar game.
What is that?
In this movie.
I'm sorry. The pushing game?
Yeah. With Sean Brody.
I've seen that. I didn't know that's what it's called, but I know that game.
Wait, that's a game like that? It happens in bars and stuff?
I don't know about bars, no. But it was like we used to play it in like Boy Scouts and stuff like that. It's like a balance, you know, kind of game. It's like a, you know.
What are the... What is the objective?
What is the rule? You have to stay, your feet have to stay on the ground planted,
right.
And you're trying to push, knock the other person off balance. But what you're doing a lot of it is faking them out so that when they gird themselves thinking you're going to push them, you don't. And then when they stiffen up, you push them so that they are suddenly, you know, vulnerable.
I just want to take a moment.
And you push them straight to the ground.
To just show Jason and June.
Wow.
Me at SeaWorld.
With a seal.
A seal.
Nice.
Really fun. Really
That's
fun
really stuff. Cute.
I love, by the way,
Paul's
John.
Such a cute kid.
Thank you.
So,
and I will say, a very cute man. A very
thank cute you, self. Jason.
You know, I feel comfortable saying that from the point of view of I only have known you as a man. I didn't know you during the mommy Frenching years of your childhood.
So that sounds like a fun game, actually.
Yeah, I think that that's a game that's right up your alley.
Yeah,
the like pushing that. People off. Of
I feel like it was like that. I've never seen it in this context with like older people playing it in a bar or something.
Yeah,
like that. It was like a kid's game.
But then Leah Thompson, who's this is her first performance, or first movie role. I love Leah Thompson. She is the best. She plays Kellyanne Bukowski, one of the SeaWorld water skiers.
Yep, and daughter of Charles Bukowski, the author.
Yeah, which is really, so we didn't get into that much yet. Just a little bit. It's so they fall in love very quickly, but this movie is very PG. I mean, it is rated PG. So like even their like little romantic moment in another movie would have been dirtier.
Yeah. Well, they would have gone skinny dipping instead of like swimming in their bathing suits.
Yeah.
For example.
They go swimming in their bathing suits. And then on top of that, then they have like a kind of a romantic, like, like bumper boat thing. They're very little.
But cool. He does say that, like, if Dennis Quaid hadn't interrupted them, boy, can you imagine if it had been Randy Quaid in that part? The Quaid brothers just fucking
Randy Quaid from
it.
Oh, that I was thinking that he'd play his character from National Lampoon's Vacation.
Oh, that would be great too. But I more mean like Randy Quaid in this era of Randy Quaid. Anyway,
one of the things that made me insane was the first of all, they all act so goofy. Like all of the non-sharks in the movie act like insane.
You mean the actors?
The non-shark actors. Because I think June, you delineate between shark actors and non-shark actors.
That is correct. The non-sharks act insane. Like they are falling all over each other.
Yeah.
Everybody's kissing each other on the mouths.
Everybody. Dennis Quaid's girlfriend
kisses his
open
brother on
mouth,
the mouth
kisses her little his little brother on the mouth.
Is it so wrong?
Dennis Quaid doesn't kiss his brother on the mouth. It's not. Let me be very clear, Paul. Yeah. Open mouth kissing is fine.
Oh, okay.
But when it's your mother, that is incest.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Kissing your mom on the mouth.
By the way, I would pay $10,000 to watch that.
It would be really weird.
It makes me
the
already
other thing
uncomfortable.
She does, it's very uncomfortable. The other thing she does that drove me nuts was every time she kisses Dennis Quaid, she makes a mwah sound.
It drove me crazy. I hate when people in movies, when they're romantically kissing, do a pursed lip kiss, not like open mouth kissing like we kiss.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like a demonstrable, like the sound, the everything, which is like.
It's like show, don't tell.
Nobody kisses like that.
It's bizarre.
It's kind of the Legos kissing.
Over and over.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean,
so much kissing.
They also do that thing where they're always kissing, even when like circumstances are awful. They're finding like romantic beats to play when like children's lives are at stake.
Oh, yeah. And one of their friends has gone missing for, I think, days.
And we never see his girlfriend again. Yeah. His distraught girlfriend is who she's like, she packs his bags. She's like, he's left me. And they're like, we haven't seen him. And then we don't find that guy's corpse until days later.
And by the way, the movie, the gore in this movie is so weird because like when they find his body, it's comical. It looks like what you would walk into in like a Halloween store. It's like, it's not well done. It's not good at all.
And
like,
when they pull the blanket off to identify the body, it is like, like teeming with sea life.
Yeah, like maggots in its
there's
mouth.
There's crabs rocking around on his head, and there's like, I was like, wouldn't they clean this up? Or no, like, maybe not.
Things are floating around in his teeth, and Dennis goes, well, like, but why is the engineer IDing the body?
And it seems like everybody there, I mean, we really get into SeaWorld employee culture in this movie, and it does seem like it's a small group of people where everybody knows everybody.
Everybody's fucking
everybody. In that scene, everybody's kissing each other on the lips. In that scene where they're identifying the body, there's about six other people in the room.
Yeah.
Don't they know this man?
No.
No, they are, I believe, like the police. I'm assuming they're police who came in because there's a dead body. I assumed they were like, hey, we've got an actual emergency. I think police or medics or something, the EMTs or maybe. I don't know. But my assumption was they were from outside the park because this is a dead body.
Right.
But yeah, that was also confusing because they seem to be, I don't know, I'm going to ask this question. Is there a scene in this movie that takes place outside of SeaWorld?
No.
No, the answer is no.
Right? That's crazy.
I mean, well, I would say that this movie is aggressively light.
Yeah.
Like, nothing happens in this movie, and it's an hour and, like, 40 minutes. It's like,
oh yeah,
and
too long.
Nothing happens in it.
Nothing happens for a solid hour.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you see shark, and the sharks look so fake. Like, you know, that whole idea that Spielberg didn't want to shoot the shark because it would look fake. I guess by three, they're like, oh, fuck it. Well, we could just show fake shark. I mean, every time you see the shark, it looks fake, except for when it's a real shark, and they literally speed it up to look more intimidating. Like, there's moments where the shark is just like on sped up film, but he looks tranquilized and tired.
Like, you also only ever really see that shark. And by the way, it's a she.
Okay.
The
mama shark.
The big shark.
But what about the baby shark?
The big shark.
The baby shark is only featured really for a minute.
Yeah. No, the big shark is a she. Even though the British guy keeps calling it a he.
A lot of people in the movie call the shark a he, which I thought was fascinating.
Yeah. Well, June, I got some information for you
it's
about the female-male switch. The female dolphin in the movie is actually
Sandy.
It's actually a male dolphin named Capricorn, and he lives in Discovery Cove right now, which is owned by SeaWorld Orlando.
Wasn't something going on a few years back where a lot of dolphins were raping people?
I don't know that was just limited to a few years back.
That's still going on?
I think so. I think, you know, left unchecked, these dolphins are just out of control. No. I mean, I think there have been instances where dolphins get very physical with people. When you're swimming with dolphins, when you're in and amongst swimming with dolphins,
they
can be very physical and they can like knock you down and get on top. Like, I just think there is.
That's the price you pay.
There's just a physicality.
Yes, but it is sexual. I believe for them, it is born of a sexual drive.
Desire.
I think. I'm speaking, I could be repeating apocryphal stories.
No. We are saying this is fact. This is absolute fact.
Well, here's the thing. Are we marine biologists? Is this a marine biology podcast?
Guys, I do have some interesting news. A part of the whole thing, we've been talking about bears, we're talking about sharks now. The Country Bears is closing.
I know. I saw that.
Wow. It's a big deal.
Did we do that?
I think we did.
Did we call attention to something that they were like, wait a minute, that's still open?
Yeah. And
we got to close that.
People are upset. I wanted to go back to, June, what you were talking about with employee culture here. And this is the first scene that we see of, it seems like three things are going on at once. There is interviews going on at SeaWorld. There's corporate training going on. There's a guy making a flower arrangement. And then there's another guy just explaining the geography of SeaWorld, all within a foot of each other.
But is this the first ever SeaWorld that's ever opened?
I think it's the new SeaWorld underwater pavilion. That's what I think they're hypothesizing.
And I think that underwater thing is the big selling point.
And do those underwater attractions exist at SeaWorld?
No.
Oh, I do. You can. Yes, definitely. We've been in a couple of those things.
Not like at SeaWorld.
At Las Vegas. Where you can go underneath, where you can be in a tunnel and looking up at like what the fish are around.
Huh.
Yeah, that exists. That's a thing.
So not like where there's like branches of tunnels.
That I know.
Okay,
of.
Okay.
This is, but again, I have not been to SeaWorld, so I don't want to vouch.
Yeah.
But this is what we learn about the employees a little bit.
Our dress code here, so keep your hair and nails trimmed. And please, don't alter your costumes. Once you've been fitted with your SeaWorld guide apparel, the shorts are short enough. Show any cheek and you'll be back shoveling French fries. Now, let's continue with our welcome speech again. All together now.
Welcome to SeaWorld, the world's largest marine life park.
That's why, terrible.
Why, first of all, again, why is SeaWorld allowing this to be on film? But then why are they all practicing a welcome? Are they all doing a unison welcome to SeaWorld? And they all have hand gestures to it as a, it's, it is.
At SeaWorld, do they shovel fries? Is that, I guess, like saying this is the plum job.
This is the plum job of, I don't know what the plum job at SeaWorld is. Like, what are they doing? Because they're in like short shorts and like a stripy top. They're not like,
I'm assuming they're like guides or, you know, some, you know, maybe they lead tour groups. I don't know. It was pretty, this was like, this, you're right to describe it as thin. There was like, it was neither nor. Neither was there enough suspense built to keep us, to keep it, to keep ratcheting up the tension, nor was there any kind of character explanation or exploration, rather, that was fun to dig into while we were not being shown the shark.
You would think there'd be a tension throughout the movie about whether or not Dennis Quaid's going to go to Venezuela and leave his marine
lady love
biologist doctor, but that doesn't really, there are no stakes there. Like, we know that she's, they're gonna end up together, she's gonna go, like, there's just nothing
to
there.
to me I also want to just ask the big question, which is, we know that this is the son of Roy Scheider's character from Jaws and Jaws 2. There's never a moment where, like, I know that they say that his brother doesn't want to go in the water, but there's never a moment where like Mike Brody's like, This is happening again to me? Like, I have been in this situation. Like,
what person, never mind two people, him and his brother, have now experienced three separate great white shark attacks in different areas?
And the shark is seemingly like being called to him, because there are two moments where he's like, guys, there's a great white shark here. And he looks out, and then as he's talking, we get to the shark's POV.
Yeah.
The shark just comes right into the restaurant to be like, hey, what's up? Hi, well, I'm in the restaurant.
Wasn't this in Jaws 4 that we did, that the shark follows them to the Caribbean?
Yes.
Just to get revenge?
Well, this shark, I mean, it wasn't even, I mean, maybe it was one for revenge, because then later on, the shark has no problem breaking through the glass in the command center. Like, that was the best, dumbest effect of this whole movie. Like, shark! And then the shark crashes through. But this is how I remember it as a kid. That was the scariest moment ever, because the glass flying out.
Oh, interesting.
And the shark coming in. But you watch it in 2D, it is the cheapest looking effect.
It's so slow. The movie is, the action, partially because it's underwater, is so slow moving. It's so, like, none of, like, the tension from the first Jaws of, like, oh, being above and not knowing what's below, and then getting those little peaks. This is, so much of this is below water. It's just kind of murky and dark and slow, and it's like plodding.
And the shark doesn't look
at night too. Like, all the real action with the shark is happening in the dark.
Well, what is this? Game of Thrones, season 7.
Nice.
Did Miguel Sapochnik direct this movie? Slam. I'm just kidding. I had no problem with the darkness in that episode. I thought it was terrific.
The DP came out and apologized for that episode.
Yeah, which he shouldn't have done, because I thought it looked great. I think it was compression.
What I was actually thinking about though too is the shark, like, I know I've said it now a couple times, looks lethargic in the sense that even when he eats that British guy, who I have no connection to, and is he a villain?
What?
I don't
who
even know if he's
he
a villain.
To be?
He is Philip Fitzroy.
Yeah. What was his point? Like, he's not a bad guy. He's not Robert Shaw.
Yep.
He's not Richard Dreyfuss, and he's certainly not Roy Scheider.
I just couldn't even tell in the context of the movie what his job was.
Well, I thought he was supposed to be, sorry, go ahead.
No, I didn't know if he was coming to film for a specific publication or magazine, or just document this SeaWorld experience for their own internal
I think he was supposed to be some sort of like Jacques Cousteau / Crocodile Dundee type of person.
This is how we're introduced to him. Here we go. This is how we hear him.
Philip Fitzroy with a capital R is here to film us, meet our resident day scientific staff.
that is it. He's here to film us and meet our scientific staff, which he, by the way, Louis Gossett Jr. does not seem like he knows anything going on at SeaWorld.
Oh, he's watching. For sure.
He like we're introduced to him watching the jet ski or the water ski
team.
Oh, yeah. Like he doesn't seem. He just seems. He does not seem like he seems like someone who was assigned.
It's hard to tell though. That's what I didn't understand about his character. Is he like? Does he stand to make a lot of money if SeaWorld does well? What is he the corporate?
Just, he seems to be
here?
To be like an administrator. I don't think he owns SeaWorld.
Well, if he owns SeaWorld, that's one thing, and maybe he does. I don't think so.
I think
idea.
He's just no. like the chief operations officer.
He's
or something
Calvin
like
Broussard.
That. I think he's just like running the park day to day.
Which is crazier though, because if he's just running the park day to day and isn't like fully. Like, if he has no real skin in the game other than his own salary, he seems to be looking the other way where he should not be.
Oh, no. He's definitely allowing for things to happen that escalate the danger, the circumstances. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
According to Wikipedia, Calvin Broussard is the park manager. That's all he is. He's just a park manager. Huh. That's all we know.
What? It seemed, boy.
And just so you guys know, I mean, Kay Morgan is the senior marine biologist, but they're not giving me a title for what Michael Brody is. Michael Brody is titleless, which makes me go that he's not even really the head of maintenance. I think he's just a guy.
Well, but he's big enough that the Venezuelans want him. You know, he's like he's done good enough work that they need him in Venezuela.
Right.
My question about the Crocodile Dundee Bill Irwin type guy is I thought they were trying to establish him, which would have made sense to me, as a romantic rival for the Dr. Morgan. What was her?
That was Bess Armstrong played Catherine Morgan. Yeah.
I thought they were trying to establish, she's with Dennis Quaid, but here's this hunky, guy. And that is going to be some sort of thing. And it's not at all. He's just a prick. And everybody doesn't like him. But then we kind of do like him later in the movie when he's like, maybe he is helpful. Maybe his bravery is going to be something that will help us. And instead, chomp, 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 see you later, guy.
But by the way, not even chomp, chomp, chomp. It seems as if he just slips into that shark's mouth. Mm-hmm. That shark does not attack him. He slips
you think
in.
He, you think he committed suicide? You think, how many people in this movie do you think wanted to get eaten by that shark?
I feel like all these people were dissatisfied with their life and their job. They're like, how cool would it be to die at a theme park? But like, when I watch that scene at the end.
That'd be an amazing single day at SeaWorld if they were like, listen, this is what we're doing. If you want to commit suicide, come to the park, jump on in the tank.
Yeah.
This is what we're doing.
It's Kevorkian Day.
We're going to feed these animals, right? It's good for them. We're going to give you what you want. And you know what? It's a theme day. All we want at the end of the day is a parking lot full of abandoned cars.
So we get in a Salmon car Mexico.
It is so crazy though to see his whole body. That was the one part where I felt like, they did an okay job with the effects there. Because I did feel like I was inside the shark's mouth.
That was actually the best effect.
Honestly,
of the,
it was a thrill.
That I will agree with you. That was the most clever shot of the entire movie, just watching his goggles bob up and down as they kind of come out of his mouth. Now, thankfully, and this is the craziest thing about the movie, the way the movie ends and the way the whole day is saved is like he put two grenades on himself.
Yes.
So at the end, it's the craziest way they kill this fucking shark. It's like, one of the grenades is just kind of still hanging around in the mouth of the shark. And then Dennis Quaid and Catherine Morgan have to like use a long stick to like get the stick through the hole of the pin of the grenade and then rip the pin out.
And they spend so much time earlier in the movie explaining how grenades work. Remember when he first goes out, he wants to bring the grenades and they're like, no, you can't bring grenades. You can't bring homemade bombs out into SeaWorld waters, blah, blah, blah. And then they have a whole explanation. Well, it's totally safe unless you pull the pin out. And they really explain beat for beat how a grenade works. Which is so weird because it's like, they're basically recreating the end of Jaws, which is in Jaws, he has the scuba tank in his mouth and Roy Scheider has to shoot the tank to blow up the tank to blow up the shark.
But this is like, this is like a carnival game that you would never be able to win because you're trying to pull, You're trying to pull a pin of a grenade out that's sitting in a shark's mouth with a long stick that has no real leverage to, like, pull it out. But yet they do it, and he blows up. And it's so anticlimactic. And then they rise to the surface of the water, and they kind of make an arc with their hands. And the dolphins just are, like, also, like, because the dolphins are the heroes, too. The dolphins are the unsung characters.
Now, will sharks eat dolphins?
I'm assuming. I think great whites are an apex predator, and they will eat anything.
I mean, these sharks, I mean, these dolphins seem to be the only people that were really concerned about anything.
The dolphins, here's the thing. The dolphins are the smartest people in the movie. Are the smartest entities mammals. In the movie. Smartest
but
mammals
why,
in the movie.
Why, Ken, why, if you're making Jaws 3, don't you go, my dad killed two of these. I'm going to call my dad. I'm going to do something. Mm-hmm. I know how to kill it. No, they're just very, like, lackadaisical. Even when PJ, that guy who plays Fitz Royce's buddy, who I love. The other cameraman? The other cameraman. I love that guy. When he finds out he didn't come back, he's like, what? He didn't come back? And then he runs up the dock and down another hole. Like, yeah. What's that hole? Yeah. What are you doing over there? I don't know.
They did a terrible job. For a movie that never leaves the park, they did a terrible job establishing the geography of the park.
No idea where
so like when they go in and they say, when they see the dead body and she's like, oh, okay. First of all, Dr. Catherine Morgan puts her hands wide. Right? As if she goes, whoa, and she looks scared. And she puts her hands wide in measurement. What we understand later to be the measurement of the bite of the shark that killed him. But what it looks like is she's looking at a naked man's body and going, whoa, and making it seem as though his dick is enormous, which I thought was very funny. But then she's like, they go and they find Louis Gossett Jr., and they're like, there's a bigger shark. There's a much right. bigger shark, and it's still in our waters. Then for, I don't know, 10 or so minutes, Dennis Quaid runs
oh my God,
through the park.
Hilarious. Yes,
drives a golf cart, drives a bike, rides, is jumps on multiple modes of transportation, trying to just get people out of the water, probably trying to get the
but
water.
But it sounds like, what's in the water? Like he's like, he's acting as if these kids who are on dry land are going to be killed by this shark.
But he's, and he's running right through the orca show. Yeah. He's running through every venue at SeaWorld, whether that venue is seaside or not.
To me,
the shark is only in the lagoon.
It's like
Dennis
it's like,
Quaid, go to the lagoon.
It's like that end of like Pee-wee's Big Adventure where he's like running through every movie set. Like it really does feel like that. We got all SeaWorld. Let's keep on going. And Dennis Quaid is a guy who doesn't mind jumping into water with his shoes on.
Oh.
That guy jumps into water three times with his shoes on.
With everything.
Everything. But I'm like, just kick off your shoes. Like, you understand how swimming works.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to weigh you down. Like, always shoe jumping in.
I also found it hard to believe that SeaWorld didn't have some sort of, you know, all park audio system where they could just call out, like, everybody out of the water.
It was a new park, Jen. They hadn't figured that part out. They hadn't got
some kinks to work
the
out.
Intercom system on.
Do you think this was, like, a soft open for them?
Ooh, a soft launch.
It seemed like, wasn't it a soft open because they said it was like a family and friend day? That's why his brother came.
Oh, really?
I thought it was a family and friend day. Like,
oh, that's interesting.
You know, like come and, you know, we're just letting everybody.
Is it possible? No, it's not possible that this movie came out when SeaWorld was just being established, right?
No.
SeaWorld's been around forever, I think.
Yeah, let's see. I'll see.
Maybe.
Yeah, SeaWorld's always existed.
Yeah, yeah. SeaWorld.
There's never been a time.
They talk about SeaWorld in the Bible.
Yeah.
1964 is when it opened. And SeaWorld Orlando opened in 1973.
Okay.
And this was shot in 83. So this is 10 years into SeaWorld's tenure in Orlando, because this was shot in Orlando.
I see.
By the way, one of my favorite moments, it's such a small moment, we talked about it, when they find the dead body of the guy who's been missing for a couple days that everyone forgets about, no big deal. When he float, like, he just casually like kind of floats up into that underwater thing. Everyone's so scared that somebody just pushes the girl's face into the wall, so she is literally.
It's
face
as if
to
she's
face.
Making out with the guy's corpse on the other side of the glass.
It was like a real mother son moment.
Oh, Paul, we have to talk after the podcast about some stuff. Yeah, no, I feel like Dennis Quaid and what's her name? Bess
Armstrong.
Armstrong, thank you. Had the kind of chemistry that like a young boy has with his mother.
June, what did you think of the chemistry?
Did you also try to make out with your grandma? Oh,
no.
What?
No.
Oh, no. It was just that you'd pretended you were drunk in front of her.
My great-grandma, yeah. I used to...
but if you were like, no, I'm trying to make out with my great-grandma.
I used to pour root beer in a glass and be like, oh, it's a tough day at school.
Oh,
and she thought I was drinking, and she like told my mom.
What is happening? This is too much. What is going on? For the next Howdies, if there is a next Howdies, somebody needs to just make a supercut of all of your very strange childhood stories.
Well, this is all like latchkey kids spending too much time in front of the TV.
But I'm more concerned about the kid that pours himself a root beer and acts as though he's like sidling up at the bar after a tough day at the steel mill.
It was just fun for me to do. I had no brothers and sisters, and I lived on a dead-end block. I had to make up.
Yeah, I know. You had to have a couple of root beers and then try and get it on with your mom. You're like, you don't understand. Math class was hard.
I don't know. I can't defend any of it.
People, let me tell you about new Starbucks Triple Shot. Energy that you can find in your local grocery store or convenience store. Yes, that's right. Starbucks is now available in your local grocery and convenience store. How? By giving you this amazing new drink. The Triple Shot Energy has 225 milligrams of caffeine from Starbucks coffee, a hint of flavor, and enhanced with guarana, B vitamins, and ginseng for the energy that you need to do the things that matter to you. And it's available in three delicious flavors, including French vanilla, cafe mocha, and caramel. By the way, those are all the characters in a brand new Fast and Furious movie. I love it. I love this energy because it gives me my kick without making me feel like I'm on edge. Plus, I can keep one of these in my fridge at work so I can just pop it open at any time, or in my fridge at home, can pop it open before I leave the house, okay? I love how this elite keeps me a little bit more awake, keeps me a little bit more alert, keeps me a little bit more present in my day today. I love this as my secret weapon, my secret second wave burst of energy. You know, after you leave work, you want to go out at night, this gives you a little burst. Or maybe after lunch and you're a little tired, boom, it gives you a little burst. Or on the weekend, you're with your kids, they're so great, but you've been up since 6, around 3 o'clock, you need a little extra shot. It is the best. I'm talking about Starbucks Triple Shot Energy. And my favorite is Cafe Mocha. Find it at your local grocery or convenience store and tell them Paul sent you. And then they'll be confused why you said that. But don't worry about it. All right. We have to go back to the show. And remember, we got t-shirts, amazing t-shirts. Just go to tpublic.com/store/HDTGM. We got a new John, Jason, and June shirt. Oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed about that. Anyway, back to the show. Get a shirt, get a sticker, get a mug. Woohoo! We really talked about a lot of this film.
That's it.
Yeah, let me tell you a couple. Well, let's see this. Obviously, we have an opinion about this film, but there's other people out there with a different opinion. It is now time for second opinions.
Was a piece of shit, yet this person recommends it. Tell me, what is the message? Maybe that art is subjective. I need a second opinion.
Second opinions. That was a song by Jean Lajoie,
Jean?
I said
Jean Lajoie.
He's
a friend of ours.
I know, but I think I was like.
Have you now started mispronouncing our own friends?
Jean Lajoie.
Jean Lajoie.
I was really trying to put a real flourish on the last name, and it came out in the first.
Yeah, name. Yeah, it bled over.
Jean Lajoie. So these are
Jean LaJoy.
These are second opinions. Cult from Amazon. The average review of this film is 3.6 out of 5 stars. There are 37% are 5 star reviews.
37. 37%?
Yes. And this is this is a movie that is fondly remembered and by 3D genre enthusiasts. Because it's kind of brought back the 3D movie. This one here is written by Psychedelic Rock, and the title is Excellent Prequel to the Steven Spielberg Classic.
Whoa, what?
So this person's a little confused on a couple of things. I also like Steven Spielberg. So he writes, I like the actors, the plot, and the theme of the SeaWorld Aquatic Park that is offered in this music. Don't know how that goes. Okay, okay. Plus, whoa. I love the vintage Mercury V6 outboard motors that were used in the movie.
Whoa! What?
Meanwhile, I wish Dennis Quaid and Bess Armstrong would reprise their roles for Revenge, a sequel that features Lorraine Gray's comeback. Done. That's what he likes. And he also calls...
That is really strange.
And the theme of the SeaWorld Aquatic Park that's offered in this music.
This music. I mean, like, that almost feels like a bot wrote that review.
Yeah. Then it was signed MAGA. All right. No, it was not. This is written by Gerald Hammer Jr. And it's a 5-star review. It goes like this. I never really connected the dots on this one until I realized it in a way that puts the Brody family against the killer shark. Now it makes a great addition to my movie collection. 5 stars.
Oh, God.
So you never connected the dots that Jaws 3D was about the Brody boys? Okay, great. Glad that one came out of the blue for you.
I wish this had been called Jaws 3, : The Brody Boys.
This one's written by David. Just writes, best Jaws ever. 5 stars.
Oh, God.
And finally, we'll end on this one. This is from Where To Next at 90. It says this, I'm not concerned about the acting. To me, it reminds me of how everyone interacted with each other. Okay, the story was thrown together, but... What no one seems to remember is that there were two other 3D movies released around the same time, which competed against it. Now, saying that it would be nice to see these films put back in the 3D as well is an understatement. The big thing today is studios no longer re-release films as they used to, unless you're one of the main selected cities. The studios are so focused on recent films, it'd be nice to watch some of the 80s films we grew up on. The whole premise is to go and hang out with your friends. Things sure have changed. 5 stars.
Wow. Jesus.
A couple things here that I want to bring up. First of all, why wasn't Roy Scheider in this film? Well, according to his biography, he agreed to make Blue Thunder in order to ensure that he was definitely and contractually unavailable to appear in this film.
Wow!
He made Jaws 2 reluctantly due to a contract issue with Universal Pictures, whereby he owed the studio 2 films after withdrawing from The Deer Hunter, which is crazy.
Did he really?
Yeah.
And whose part, I wonder?
I wonder. Just watched that this week, as a matter of fact. I wonder if he would actually
be... For a different podcast?
Why? Well, I don't want to talk. I don't want to talk about it, guys. Anyway, so to get out of that situation, he opted to do Jaws 2. And he said, when people asked him, oh, did anyone ever ask you if you wanted to be in this? He was like, they knew better.
Funny.
So he was.
By the way, he made the right choice. I loved Blue Thunder.
Blue Thunder,
great movie. I was obsessed with Blue Thunder as a kid. I was obsessed with all those helicopter things. Blue Thunder, Airwolf.
So good.
All of it.
So then this. Well, this is how the movie came to be. So basically...
That was an entire subgenre, I believe, that was driven by men who had come home from Vietnam who were helicopter pilots.
Oh, yeah.
And then that invaded all of TV at the time. You've got Magnum P.I., you've got Riptide, you've got Airwolf, you've got Blue Thunder. Like, these are all TV and movie vehicles that star primarily a helicopter.
That's really interesting. I never thought about that. Even then, there's that one little moment in Die Hard when they're in the helicopter going around. It's like, this is just like Nam.
Yeah, you know? I think it is simply a case that there was just a ton of people who had just come from Vietnam and had that as, that was just a part of like our shared experience at that moment. Anyway.
Well, okay, so this
is... I might be totally wrong.
No, I think that's a good theory. So here we go. The movie Jaws 3 was originally conceived as a National Lampoon movie. It was going to be called Jaws 3 People Zero, and it was going to and so it was going to start with Peter Benchley being eaten in his pool by a shark, and it was going to just be really wild and crazy. Joe Dante was going to direct it. He directed Gremlins.
Smart.
And Steven Spielberg rejected the idea, and he said, "I will leave Universal Studios. I will leave my overall if you take the name of Jaws and you make a comedy of Jaws." So he threatened to it. So they take this other script, Gordon Trueblood's original story, which was not a Jaws sequel, but it was turned into one very quickly. And then they basically took the premise, which was a great white shark swimming upstream and being trapped in a lake, and just put it into SeaWorld, and that was it.
Oh, wow.
So it was a real weird thing. Now, you would imagine that this movie, when it comes out, is a big bomb, right? Well, it grossed $87.9 million.
And do you think that's just because it was 3D at the time? Yes. That was like not much 3D?
It was one of the biggest 3D openings of all time. It came in number 15 of all the movies made in 83. The top three were Return of the Jedi, Terms of Endearment, and Flashdance. It was beaten by Staying Alive, number 8, and Superman 3, which number 12, and it beat Hercules, which was 66. Which is just kind of crazy.
Crazy that all those movies came out the same year.
Yeah.
Like, that's a very
good movie year.
That's a wide swath of, though, like the idea that Hercules and how bad that looked. Wait, Hercules or Hercules in New York?
Hercules, the one that we saw.
The one we just recently did. Mm-hmm. That Hercules, Return of the Jedi, this are all the same year. That's shocking.
I know. And now here's one thing for the people who listen to the podcast they might like. This movie in Halloween 3.
So wait, this is for only people that listen to the podcast.
Yeah, people who can go in the back catalog.
So for people,
pause.
So for the rest of the show has been for people that don't listen to the podcast. But this is a little something extra for those of you that listen to the podcast.
So we talked about Halloween Season of the Witch a while ago. And Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, and Jaws 3 have some similarities. Both are third films in a series.
Are people going to want to hear this, Paul? I know I'm not a person who listens to this podcast, but I don't like where this is going.
They both launched the careers of...
I'm not going to listen to this part.
So just to be clear, June and I, as people that don't listen to this podcast, should we be ignoring this?
Oh, or what should, man.
I just don't know what to do right now.
You guys. All right, well, forget it. You know what? You can do your own research, you fucking idiots. All right.
We're just here to talk about 90s fashion. Yeah. That's all we want.
Speaking of fashion, Jason, I'm noticing that your fanny pack is here.
Yeah, my fanny pack is here.
I've never seen it in the wild. I've only heard about it.
Sure.
It's a good-looking fanny pack. Who makes it?
It's a brand called Thru-Pack.
Now, can I ask?
Yes, please.
What's in there?
What's in here is...
What's in sundries? Your fanny pack? Open it up. Let's see.
It's like the various things that I might carry around. Okay. Asthma inhaler.
Okay.
EpiPen.
Of course.
Pen. Lighter.
And you kind of wear it like a Chewbacca bandolier. Like you wear it.
You know what? I do. I wear it
except for when you're hiking.
Yeah, I wear it like a fanny pack. Yeah, I do wear it more often like a fanny pack just to like bop around. But like when I don't want to carry a backpack, when I don't want to have like my computer and all the rest, I just throw everything in this and walk around with it, and it's pretty chill. You know, I'm still like figuring it out, but you know.
Yeah, how much are you using that asthma inhaler?
When I'm on a hike, I use my asthma inhaler. Yeah. So, and this is, I will say, I primarily use this when I'm going on a hike.
Got
or
it.
When I'm like, yeah.
And it's bright red.
It is bright red.
I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, right?
I thought it was.
I have a white one too. I have a white one too. That
I've seen
is
the
very
white one. I've seen the white one in the wild, and it was so subtle. It hides really nicely.
Yeah.
But I saw you go in there, blah blah blah, and then they got. I was like, wow, that was good. I really enjoyed that.
Oh, yeah.
People, if you want
to
see,
you're like June is like really trying to crack the code of the fanny pack.
Can I ask?
Would you
one
let me get
question?
One?
Absolutely
Please.
Not. Can I ask one other question?
Of course.
What is there another pocket on the side, that mesh pocket? Does anything go in there?
No.
That's to keep your body.
An extender?
Yeah, I think this is just so you can kind of get in and out of it without it being like really too tight. It gives it a little bit. Gives you more access to the bag, I think.
Yeah. And now can I just give you my thoughts?
Please bring it home.
Here we go.
I was expecting it to, I'm surprised at how close to a purse it appears.
Yeah. Well, it's just a square. It looks like a clutch.
It looks like a clutch.
I don't mind a purse.
I would happily carry a purse.
I think you do.
For the most part, this is the closest I will come to a purse. Or like I sometimes carry a tote bag, which I like as well.
I don't like a tote bag because I can't get that on my arm.
Tour, I'm telling you what, on this tour, you're going to see a lot of my gear
getting used.
Speaking of our tour, go ahead, Junette.
I'm not done, Paul. Okay, I'm not nearly done. So you have right now the fanny pack and then two very large containers of liquids with you.
Yes.
So you're carrying the fanny pack around, worn sort of cross body.
Yeah. And then I'm just carrying the two things.
And then you're told one in each
Normally, hand. I wouldn't do this. Normally, I wouldn't have this much stuff. Or I would have a backpack.
But, you also pour coffee in a flask, like a hydro flask. Because I just got my
this
new
is water.
Right.
This is water and this is coffee.
But you said that you sometimes say you put your coffee in a hydro flask.
Yes, I do. I do. Sometimes I carry a set. There is in my car right now another one of these hydro flasks that has the rest of my coffee in it.
Got it.
So I will transfer the coffee to the mug.
Now, when we go on the tour, what bags do you think you're bringing?
Oh, such a good question. You know, I'm going to have some sort of roller suitcase.
You're going to have a suitcase. Okay.
Yeah. And then I'm going to have, you know, a backpack, probably a Tom Bin Synapse 25.
Well, by the way, I am a big Tom Bin fan. I can't get enough of Tom Bin. I like
Tom Bin. I turned Paul onto Tom Bin backpacks. I am completely obsessed. He has now bought one.
And I'm so obsessed.
And I'm really upset you didn't tell me about it first so I could buy one for him. Because one of the biggest fights we ever got into was over a backpack I bought him.
Oh, funny.
What was that?
Paul.
Oh, boy.
I don't remember this.
Paul.
You guys really? What was this?
For your birthday.
Oh, no. This is why I got upset with it. Because June said this. June goes,
It's been discussed in couples therapy.
She goes, I have the perfect gift for all of my agents. I'm going to get them all this backpack, this Herschel backpack.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, great idea. And then when I
and
get my
said,
Christmas
great
gift,
idea.
Great idea. No, and then when I get gift. My gift, it's the same Herschel backpack as she bought all of her agents.
I now understand why this was a fight. I understand. It's not bad. It's only in context.
It's bad. He's trying to be.
It's only in context. If you had just given him a backpack that he liked, totally fine. It's that it was of equal weight as an agent gift. You gave your husband an agent gift.
Yes.
Okay. Now, can I?
Yeah.
May I speak?
I know he liked it.
No. The other piece of this was I had actually ordered something for Paul from that I saw on Shark Tank that we were both obsessed with, which was it almost looked like a moleskin notebook, and when you opened it up, it was a light.
Yeah, the Lumineer
The Lumineer.
Cool.
And it was so beautiful, and the light that illuminates from it is this really soft, gorgeous golden light.
Are you guys going to try and sell me one of these
Jason,
lights?
Jason, they're so great.
What is this?
Oh, get
they really
on
are so beautiful, okay. And it just looks stunning, and you can have it bedside, so if you're
reading. Sounds like the perfect birthday gift, but.
It is, but it wasn't arriving in time. Uh-huh. So I was frantically wanting him to open up something.
And understandable.
Listen, Paul's an amazing gift giver. I am not, and I've said that a number of times.
Well, by the way.
Not one of my love languages.
Tell Jason, right now, literally.
I get that.
Now on the side on June's bedside table, tell Jason what's there.
Your Father's Day gift.
Two wrapped Father's Day gifts. Now, what day is it right now? It is June 28th. There are two wrapped Father's Day gifts that are still sitting there. They have yet to be given to me.
Well, I think you had a wonderful Father's Day, and I think I curated a beautiful day for you. What happened?
Honestly, I hope we make it on tour. I hope we get to this tour.
What happened was when I bought those gifts, I hid them in the house.
Sure.
And then on Father's Day, I
couldn't find them.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, this is great.
I simply forgot where they were. Now, we had many other wonderful experiences that day.
I'm not saying anything bad about my Father's Day gift.
You had a wonderful Father's Day.
I'm not talking about my Father's Day.
I did find them a few days later.
And then you've put them on the side of your bed.
There hasn't been the right moment to give them to you.
These peaks into your lives are so interesting. This is wild. If there is a time that you need a gift for Paul, I would be more than happy to recommend things to you. So just shoot me an email.
Just so you know, Paul is a very self-sufficient man. So if he wants something, he's going to get it.
He's not
someone who denies himself.
Yeah.
Right? So it's hard to shop for him because he's already gotten all the things he wants and needs. So it has to be something that's a little surprising.
Outside the box, something he's not exactly – I get
if you guys coming on the tour want to bring me any gifts, I'm open to that. Like, not you, Jason and Jude.
I'm not your Father's Day gift.
No, if anyone on the tour wants to bring me gifts on the road, address them to John.
You should not say that.
I don't think you should say that.
You should definitely not say that. But I mean, like, if people want to give us all gifts, don't.
Please don't.
Please don't.
Please make a donation in our name.
Yes.
To SeaWorld.
Or make a donate. SeaWorld kept alive by donations in our name.
This was a charity episode. All of our advertisement is for SeaWorld in this episode.
But to very quickly, just once more, say, Tom Bin, you guys are doing great work, but I'm also going to turn Paul on to the Evergood CPL 24,
yes,
which he's carrying today. Evergood's
CPL 24. Yeah. Oh, there's no bag that needs that many June. Different SKUs.
I need to show you these. Yeah. Let me just tell you one thing, because Jason obviously gave me a great lesson in bagotry.
I don't think we should say that. I don't think we should use that as a word.
So Jason got me into this Tom Bin bag that I love it so much that I was like, oh, I know I got this Evergoods bag. I'm nervous to even transfer myself because I'm so in love with my Tom Bin bag. Then I go into my Evergoods bag and I'm like, oh, I've been missing out on. They're both great.
Now listen.
And then I have another bag. I have three bags now. Jason has got me three bags. I have a day travel bag.
Well, question for you. One of my main complaints about you is that...
One of the main complaints.
Right,
one of
Holy
the main.
Shit.
One of my main complaints.
Holy shit.
Man,
we have a room in our home. The sitting room.
Mm-hmm.
And the sitting?
The sitting room. Yeah. And it's when you first enter the house, the first room you see. I like to keep it clean. Because it's really not a room to be in.
Oh, my God.
Yes, it's one of those fake rooms in the house that you just have for show.
And you leave that bag right on the couch every time I come home. Is it because you're so proud of it, you just want to display it?
Yeah. I want people to see it.
What if he put a hook? Would there be a hook he could hang it on?
Not on that wall, Jason. Not in that room.
The mud room or something.
The mud area, there is a hook.
There are hooks, but that mud room is very far away from the door. I've always seen it in June. It's like I have to walk across the house to the mud room. And I want to, I want to walk in and embrace my wife in a hug and a kiss and really pay some attention to my little children.
Very strange.
I just hate when you kiss me like you kiss your mother.
You mean open mouth with tongue? You guys kiss like Dennis Quaid and Bess Harper.
Anyway, if you want to come to the open mouth kissing tour,
are going
to
do a kissing booth at the tour.
Yes. Yes. Yep. By the way, I will tell you this. We are doing some fun stuff for this tour. If you have not gotten your tickets yet, please come out and see us. We are starting the tour here in July in LA. We're going to Charleston, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, DC, Boston, New York,
Philly.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And then we're ending up in Montreal. And then we're going to go back out on the road in September again to Chicago, Berkeley, Portland, Seattle, and Toronto. But I will tell you this, two fun things that we're doing on the road. Every show gets a special shirt. We just did one for Austin. You guys have heard the Serenity episode, so you now understand the Jason, John, and June shirt. But we made that specially right there. We also have some amazing, Mitch Jarrods, who is an amazing comic book artist. He's
Eisner Award winning
team
behind Mr. Miracle and Sheriff of Baghdad.
He designed a special How Did This Get Made poster. We also have...
Babylon. It was retitled Sheriff of Babylon.
And we also have some amazing new pins out there. Geostorm pins. We got Scribble pins. And we got Where Does the Butt
Start?
We got
Scribble pins?
Oh, yeah. Scribble pins are going to be great. So I've been getting that already. We are going on the road. So make sure you get your tickets. By the time you listen to this, all the movies that we're doing on our first leg of the tour will be up on hdtgminfo.com. hdtgminfo.com. Make sure you come dressed in a character if you'd like. I would prefer that.
People also come dressed wearing their favorite How Did This Get Made shirts.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's a Dragon Sound shirt or a What's Up Jerk shirt.
Yeah, you can wear the shirt to the concert or whatever that is. Write a song. Be prepared with your questions. We cannot wait to see you.
Yeah. If you are, maybe I'll regret saying this, but if you are a cool local band in any of these cities, why not write a second opinion song for us and come up and sing it?
That would be amazing. We love that.
Like a lot of people on stage.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying like...
Acapella.
Yeah, acapella. If you're like a two-person band.
Yeah, if you're a folk duo.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you, Simon and Garfunkel.
That was a joke about donating to SeaWorld. Obviously, please, no one donate to SeaWorld.
Please do not.
Don't support it at all.
Now, Capricorn is still out there living it up, taking people on tour. So if you want to experience what Dennis Quaid and Bess Armstrong experienced in the movie, you can go to SeaWorld and ride with Capricorn. June, look at me.
Wait, are you supporting SeaWorld?
Guys, I don't want to get into it. I may have gotten a little bit of money under the table. No, we do not support SeaWorld. We're not bringing any children to SeaWorld. We're not doing anything to SeaWorld.
We are doing VIP situations in these tour dates.
Yes, they're already sold out.
Here's what I'm going to say, though. During the VIP, don't think that's some sort of license to, like, touch on us a bunch. Mm-hmm. The same rules apply. Keep your hands to yourself, yes. You weirdos.
And by the way, for our September leg of the tour, you can also be with purchasing your ticket. Purchase June's new book at a very discounted rate.
It's the only book I've ever been a part of.
Okay, well.
Didn't you write 50 Shades of Grey?
No.
You did.
That was a different, woman who I think, started off in Twilight fan fiction and then.
But that was not you.
Was definitely.
Because I know you write a lot of Twilight fan fiction.
Yes, but that's separate.
Got it.
Yeah.
So, but people can get June's book as part of their ticket package there as well. This is fun. Anyone want to plug anything? Anyone want to plug anything at all? John Wick 3 still in theaters.
John Wick 3 still in theaters. I think it's now, I can say I will be in an episode of this new season of Legion that just started. Ooh, on fun. FX. That is a very fun
people
show.
People are loving this season. It I'm excited to get back into
wild
it.
Wild ride.
Wow. I can't wait. And the book that I co-authored with Kate Black is out September 3rd. It's called Represent, The Women's Guide to Running for Office and Changing the World. And you can ask your independent bookstore or local bookseller to have it in stock and purchase it there. Also, I've just started watching The Sopranos. It's wonderful.
So good.
So good.
I am rewatching Deadwood right now.
So great.
It is phenomenal.
I would like to watch that show with you, June. It's such a good show. And I just want to plug really briefly. I know we joke about it a lot on the show, but we literally had Spike Lee on Unspooled this week. And
wow,
talking about
amazing.
Do the Right Thing, you
yes,
said, right?
And it was awesome.
Must have been amazing
he's
to be in the room.
Really great to have Spike in the room. You know, just as great as having Annie Potts for the Toy Story episode. And
did you ask either of them to be on this show?
Did you mention this show?
You know, I think that actually, that was interesting. I might have actually.
You did? What did they say?
I think they were like, let me get back. I'll get back to you.
Great.
We're having,
so did
like,
you get back to them?
You know, they were having such a good time on Spooled that we didn't even get into the whole deal. But, you know, speaking of Deer Hunter, we are also doing a Deer Hunter episode this week.
Wow. This is rich. This show is now just advertisement for Unspooled, and I do not appreciate it.
We appreciate all the listeners coming over from How This Get Me, and they're coming over in droves, which is really nice.
Here's the other thing I will say, and I'm certain I will regret saying this as well, but if you are in a town that we might not know well, Charleston, Durham, I mean, maybe tweet at us, like, what are the restaurants we should be going to?
I've actually been keeping a good list of that because people have been tweeting at us.
Okay, that's what I want to know. If there's something unique or wonderful in your town that is worth us going and having a meal there or something like that.
If you see us there, don't touch
us. If you see us there, if you see me where food is being served, don't touch me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Use the hashtag HDTGM eats to let us know where we should eat in your town.
And how about HDTGM drinks? Where, like if there's a cool bar in your town that we should be going to or something.
Maybe we should just do HDTGM tour so we can put everything.
No, that's going to be so much bigger. We have individual hashtags for each thing. HDTGM eats, HDTGM drinks, HDTGM
bands.
Seats. What is it?
Bands.
Bands. HDTGM boobs.
How
What's
about
the
sites?
Strip club in your town that we should be going to?
No.
This one, June just wrote a note and said that I should say this. HDTGM car washes, HDTGM sexy car washes. If there's like a softball team having a sexy car wash, I want to know about it.
We want to be there. We're in every town for about a day. We're going to make the most of it.
Yeah, we're planning on not sleeping at all and just crushing everything we can.
And powering through multiple movies. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. I want to give a shout out to our engineer, Devin, who is just the best. Our producer, Cody, and our producer, Avril Halley. Also our researcher, Nate Kylie, and Kyle Waldron, who does all of our cool Instagram and Facebook art. If you want to talk more about Jaws 3D, you can. You can give us a call at 619-PAUL-ASK, the 619-PAUL-ASK. We'll talk about it on the How Did This Get Made mini episode where we have appearances by you. We also have appearances by Blake Harris and the Movie Bitches. It's so much fun. Take a listen to our mini episodes and that is all for now. We'll see you next week on our mini episode. And make sure you head over to the HD TGM store at TeePublic. So that's teepublic.com/store/HDTGM and get all your shirts and good needs there. Bye for now. Good needs.
Good needs.
Today's show was brought to you by our friends at Simply Safe. Why are they called Simply Safe? Because it's so simple to keep yourself so damn safe. Here's the deal. 2 million burglaries are reported every year, yet only 1 in 5 homes have home security. So why don't you start switching the numbers? Flip the script, people. Simply Safe is my top choice, hands down, because they protect your whole home, every window, door, and room with 24/7 monitoring for a fraction of the cost. Visit simplysafe.com/bonkers. You'll get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. You've got nothing to lose. Go to simplysafe.com/bonkers now so they know that we sent you. That's simplysafe.com/bonkers. And people, we're on the road. Find out more about that at hdtgminfo.com.